Well, it's a big show. Welcome to the Fade Route. It's a big bad show tonight. With DNZ. Yeah, it's a big show. Here are your hosts. DNZ.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Fade Route with DNZ. I am D. We have a great show for you tonight. The NBA trade deadline approaches. We order up the NFL coaching hires, and Major League Baseball makes bad headlines. But we begin today's show with Super Bowl 56, Matthew Stafford and the Win Now Rams versus Joe Burrow, and we might have something here, Bengals, in one of the least hyped Super Bowls in the last 10 years. Well, Z, we're here. It's happening. Who wins and why?
It's all come down to this. The moment of truth. And it's kind of deceptive how evenly matched these teams are. In fact, during the season, would you believe, I'm throwing it out there, see if you believe it, that the high-octane Rams, right? You got your Matthew Stafford, you had your Robert Woods for most of the season. They replaced him with Odell Beckham Jr. You got Higbee, you got Kupp. They averaged the same amount of points for as the little engine that could, the boys from Cincinnati, these Bengal Bucks, if you will, these youngins with your Joe Burrow and your Jamar Chase, your T. Higgins, C.J. Uzomah, all these guys that are young, up-and-coming studs. Would you believe that they averaged, both teams averaged 27.1 points per game? That is surprising. So, for me, that means the offense is a wash. And it's who shows up on defense. And if you look at the numbers, and numbers can definitely make you think very interesting things.
Yeah.
There is a slight advantage to the Rams, even though they have Ramsey and Miller and Aaron Donald and, you know, and Eric
keep
Weddle.
Keep going.
Yeah. So this embarrassment of riches, this all-star team, and this little engine that could, who picked up guys like Eli friggin' Apple, cast-offs, if you will, it's definitely going to be a lot closer than we think. And would it surprise me if the Bengals knocked off the Rams? When you look at the numbers, and you look at the way the Bengals have been playing? No, absolutely not. Because if you go by player by player, right? Offensively, the wide receiver core in name only, like Kupp and Beckham, like that's great. That's definitely going to play. But Higgins and Chase, I'm fine with that. That works. That plays. Where this is going to be won or lost is in the trenches. Aaron Donald against that Bengal offensive line. If he can get penetration and he can beat down Joe Burrow the way Joe Burrow was beaten down by the Titans, then the Rams will have this one in the bag. But this is the linchpin for the Rams. It's Matthew Stafford. He is the guy, right? He's supposed to be the guy that is going to take them over the hump, because Jared Goff was not the quarterback to do it. And if Detroit Matthew rears his ugly head, this could be a very long day for the Rams. So it's a toss-up. It's a pick'em at this point. So I'm going to flip a coin, and I'm going to take the Bengals. Because, frankly,
after all that,
after all that build-up, I'm taking the Bengals because I still don't trust Matthew Stafford. I'm taking a second-year player over Matthew Stafford. For you, sir, I cede the rest of my time.
Well, unfortunately, the Super Bowl will not be airing on our podcast.
No.
So I will be brutally honest with everyone that this game is going to be one-sided. Now, on one side, you have 9 first-round picks, a top-5 corner, 2 of the top 10 defensive players in the game. Cooper Kupp had one of the best seasons in wide receiver history. The Rams are playing a home game. They also have Matthew Stafford, a former number one overall pick. The Rams better win. Right?
They have to. This is their destiny.
Matthew Stafford has 86 career wins, and 44 of them have come from behind victories. I mean, listen, I hope the Bengals win. I'm going to be rooting for the Bengals. But I just don't see it. The talent doesn't lie. This game is going to come down to the trenches. And yeah, Joe Burrow's great. He gets hit 9 times and he gets back up. That's fantastic. But at the end of the day, these guys are going to be pinning their ears back and they're going to be coming. Nobody's had an answer for Cooper Kupp this whole playoff. I can't get the numbers in front of me right now, but I'm pretty sure he's averaging over 100 yards and over a touchdown in each playoff game. And guess what? If you decide to stack the odds against him, they got another guy over there called Odell Beckham Jr., who is, even though people don't like him, he's an elite wide receiver and he's healthy now. I just don't see how the Bengals walk into LA and beat this team. Now the only part, the X factor, you said the X factor is Matthew Stafford. Are we going to get Detroit Lions Matthew Stafford? Are we going to get the first 6 games of the season LA Rams Matthew Stafford? Because let's be real, the Matthew Stafford from the last couple weeks hasn't been that great.
No, sir.
They were 2 plays away from losing to the 49ers. And if it wasn't for blown coverage in the Bucs game, they're not even in the NFC Championship game. The X factor in the game on Sunday is Mr. Sean McVay. We saw him the last time he was in the Super Bowl get out-coached by Bill Belichick. Showed the Rams a front they had never seen before. Exploited Jared Goff for what he was. Literally led to him getting traded less than 16 games later. So, is he going to get out-coached here? Probably not. But will he make mistakes? Did they prepare for this game correctly? That I don't know, and that we'll find out. And I hope they didn't. But that remains to be seen.
Well, here's my thing to counter your argument. Pressure. Who's the pressure? Who's under pressure?
Pushing down on you.
Exactly. Who has more pressure? The Rams. It's a home game, like you mentioned. They're the team that was supposed to be here. They're the team of destiny. They're the ones with an all-pro in, 8 different positions. Like, they're the ones with Jalen Ramsey. They're the ones with Aaron Donald. They're the ones with Matthew Stafford. They're the ones who are supposed to be here. Pressure either busts pipes or makes diamonds. I don't know if these guys outside of Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald can handle the pressure. We've seen Jalen Ramsey melt under pressure and get torched. We've seen Odell Beckham Jr. lose his mind after somebody talked a little shit to him. And you can tell me that, oh, he's matured and, oh, he's healthy. At the end of the day, there's enough tape on Odell Beckham to know that you can get in his head. And if you get in his head early, you can shut him down. And Matthew Stafford, it's well documented. Yes, he has 44 come-from-behind wins, but he's had plenty of games where he looks like dog shit. So
the other part is, like, what does this really say about Matthew Stafford? And to me, it doesn't really say much, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all it says is, like, okay, you got put on an elite team and you won a Super Bowl.
You're better than Jared Goff.
Let me slow clap that for you. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You should win this game. You should win. So if you don't win, you get crushed. And if you do win, I don't really give you credit, man. Now you come back and do it next year. All right. That might work. But to me, like I said, you've got Odell Beckham. You got Andrew Whitworth. You've got Sony Michel, who won a Super Bowl. You've got Cooper Kupp, who had an all-time season. I mean, come on, man. Like, you on the other side of the ball, you got Von Miller.
Mm-hmm.
You got Andrew. You got Aaron Donald. You got Jalen Ramsey. Like, come on, man. And you're going up against the Bengals. It makes me remember Peyton Manning's first Super Bowl. It's like, dude, you beat Rex Grossman and the Bears. Like, stop. Like, you don't get credit for that, man. You don't get credit. You're supposed to go in and win that game. You're Peyton Manning. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's in Florida, Alaska. You got to win that game. Now, yeah. What happened? Peyton goes up against Drew Brees, gets punched in the mouth, and he loses. That's bad. Peyton Manning goes up against the Seattle Seahawks, gets bitch slapped, 56-8 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
46-8. That looks bad. Now you go up against Cam Newton, MVP, 15-1. All right, Peyton, you get my respect there, because you threw one touchdown pass in that game you could barely throw. You know? So that's where I am with Matthew Stafford and this game. That's where I am for the Super Bowl. And wasn't going to let everybody wait until the end of the show to get our pick.
No, nor should we. This is the main event. We're leading with the main event early, and
yeah,
as we should. But if there is, like, an outside, or, you know, who you see as, like, the outside chance for MVP for this? Because we know that they're going to want to slurp. They're going to trip all over themselves to give it to one of the quarterbacks. So who would be a dark horse candidate for MVP, in your opinion?
Yeah, a dark horse candidate would be Von Miller, because he's done it before, right? That would be my dark horse. And on the Bengal side, there's not a lot there. I'm curious to see what their game plan is. If I were running the Bengals, if I was Zach Taylor, I'd kind of try to be run heavy in the first half and pass in the second half. Because what I want to do is I want to get into a shootout with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, that's how I'm going to win this game. And I'm going to run to set myself up for plays later on.
That's why Joe Mixon is going to be my MVP.
Yeah.
You know, because they
are going. I can't remember the last time a running back won.
Probably, was it Terrell Davis? I think Terrell Davis might have been one of the Super Bowl MVPs. That
probably was. That was like 98.
Jesus. But yeah, it's like, that's what you're going to do. If you have, you treat them like the Buffalo Bills, and you're the New York Giants. You run the damn ball. You keep their offense on the sideline. You keep their defense exhausted on the field. You don't let them sub, and you just run it down their throats.
Yeah,
and
because
they
the
will
is,
break.
Yeah, because the thing with this team is, like, they're built to go after the quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and we've seen them play games where, you know, teams are able to run the ball and they lost. They weren't able to really play well.
Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? A delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave, from the classic OB to Dutch Apple to Campfire S'mores and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up. Make sure you follow them on Instagram and Facebook too, at sweetlifebrownie_co, for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give them a call, 845-641-3043, and tell them D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie.
But, you know, we're only a couple of days away. We'll see what happens. But the Rams were a win-now team. They made all the moves to win today. And some would argue that if McVay and Snead did not get the job done this year, they would have lost their job.
We kind of
agreed on that earlier this year.
Oh yeah.
So, in your opinion, which coaches need to make the Super Bowl next year to keep their jobs?
Now, there are levels to this, right? Because then you have bulletproof, untouchable guys. You have your Andy Reid's, your Bill Belichick's, and probably Bruce Arians, maybe.
I would put him in. He's gonna retire.
Yeah.
So, 1 year without Tom, I'm out of here.
Right. So I definitely see them at that level. And then underneath them are the guys you really need to worry about. Because then you below this level, you're looking at guys like Mike McCarthy. Like, he's not a Super Bowl or bust coach. They're not even close to a Super Bowl. Like Cliff Kingsbury. They gotta win a game in the play. They gotta win a round. Before
they gotta, get their quarterback to start following them again on Instagram.
Hey, before they're Super Bowl or bust, how about you actually win a playoff game? Like, another guy who's untouchable, in my opinion, is Mike Tomlin. So he's up on that echelon with, you know, the Belichicks, and like, he's good. So that leaves you with guys like Mike Vrabel. That leaves you with LaFleur. That those guys are definitely on the list. I mean, if Kyle Shanahan gets a quarterback who's actually decent, there will be some expectations on Kyle Shanahan. I think the expectations get ratcheted up on him. Other than that, like, those are the three biggest ones. You know what? I will throw Frank Reich in there as well. Because this was supposed to be the year that the Colts took the next level. And then you got a guy like Brandon Staley. Your team was supposed to be on the rise, but you kept making stupid ass decisions. Yeah, and you want a kind of out of left field one that who should be safe but might not be? John Harbaugh.
Like, yes, I agree.
How many years are we going to wait for the Ravens to do what they're supposed to do?
And like, they just lost their defensive coordinator, Wink Martindale, to the Giants, which I would argue is a better hire than Brian Daboll as their head coach.
Totally.
Let Coach Martindale get into Bradbury and Blake Martinez, and let me tell you, they're going to play some defense next year for sure.
100%. But those are the guys I'm looking at. I'm definitely looking at LaFleur. I'm looking at Vrabel. I'm looking at Harbaugh. I'm looking at that just underneath level of guys who have expectations on them and their team should be there. Frank Reich, too. Who you got?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say Vrabel, and I'm also in agreement with you on Harbaugh, because they had so many injuries this year and it sucked, but it's like, what's going on? It's a little up and down, but my first guy is Matt LaFleur.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude, it's like you got blown out in the opener against the Saints. Then you were beaten by Jimmy G and the 49ers in the divisional round. And the only game Aaron Rodgers didn't start, you lost. And he's likely leaving. So you took a step back this year by not making the title game. So if you miss the playoffs or you don't get to back to at least a conference championship, I think you're out. I think he's out. My next guy is Mike McCarthy. It's just like, dude, there's no reason why Dallas shouldn't be where the Rams are right now when you think about it. I mean, I think that Dallas is pound for pound just as good offensively at every position as the Rams are. You know, come on, Amari Cooper, Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham Jr., the CeeDee Lamb, Ezekiel Elliott, Sony Michel. Come on, like, and Dak and Stafford. Dak's better than Stafford.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Dak is better than Stafford.
So they got all-stars at almost every offensive position. They got an outstanding rookie linebacker in Parsons. And Sean Payton's waiting to take your job, bro. And you know what? Dan Quinn was like, nah, I'm not going to take any of these head coaching jobs. Mike's going to fuck this up. I could definitely come back as D coordinator and be interim coach for the rest of the season. So, right? I mean, that's totally – come on. That's exactly what he was thinking.
No, that's what he's thinking.
He was a finalist for all those jobs. And he's like, you know what? Take my name out. I see where this is headed. This dude's going to get fired when we're 0-4, 1-3, or 2-2. I'm going to get a chance to coach the Dallas Cowboys for the rest of the season and then pick what I want to do. that's definitely. And the last one, our favorite terrible quarterback, terrible coach, Brandon Staley. Based on his poor decisions, and the Chargers will be eager to get Sean Payton on the phone before Dallas does. I mean, come on, Sean Payton coaching Herbert? Wow. I mean, come on. That is, you got to go for that, especially if it's available.
No, absolutely. Those are definitely solid picks. I mean, McCarthy, the problem with McCarthy is that he works for Jerry friggin' Jones. And Jerry Jones just is he's the constant, right? You change the coach, you change the players. What's not changing? The owner is the GM. That's a problem. So,
But Dallas drafts well. They draft well, and they have good players. Their cap's a little wonky. Their cap's a little jacked up, but they got good players. They got good talent. They should have done better this year.
Yeah. Well, that speaks to these guys not being able to play together in a big moment. You need to have some kind of continuity. And regular season and playoffs are two different things. You know that. And most importantly, it's Jerry Jones and it's Kellen Moore. That the game plan that Kellen guy. Moore is putting... Yeah, Das Wunderkind, right? Like, the game plan that Wonder Boy put in place where you don't run Ezekiel Elliott doesn't work. It does not work. If he was a... You should have kicked in a little under the table for one of these teams to take Kellen Moore as the head coach.
All right, quarterback. Quarterback draw on two. Ready, break. Did he just say quarterback draw?
We have no time. How much time is left? Oh, shit. This ain't Boise State, kid. This isn't Boise State. What are we doing here?
Run, Dak, run. Get down.
We're giving it to the... No, not the center. No.
No, that's not the ref. Ah.
The guy in the stripes. The guy in the stripes. Ah. But, you know, like... I don't know, they're a bigger fish to fry, I think, than Mike McCarthy. And Staley, I mean, he's one dumb decision away from being out. I'm with you on that. Like,
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Bengals. Like, I was looking at their schedule, and, you know, the teams they beat, they were in close battles with some teams, right? There's no reason why that couldn't have been the Chargers. Like, everybody in the AFC should look at the Bengals and be like, man, that could have been us. Like, there's no reason why you couldn't overcome adversity and be this team. I mean, what they have to do, really? Mm-hmm. They had to beat a Titans team that really wasn't a one seed, right? They had to beat a Chiefs team, which they were pummeled against in the first half. They were beat against the ropes. 21-3, should have been 21-24-3, but they had a killer second half. Like, you have to look at that and be like, that could have been us. There's no reason why it couldn't have been.
Well, here's another outside the box, the one that I'm thinking about. If you're Terry Pegula, are you frustrated with Sean McDermott if he doesn't ascend next year? Is he on the ropes?
Yeah. Especially when you see what Buffalo did to Kansas City, but then the Bengals go in there and win? Come on. Like, we got the better, we're supposed to have the better quarterback. We're supposed to have the better coach and the better team. There's no way you don't look at that stuff and feel like you missed out. Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood. But one thing that everybody's going to be missing out on this year is, looks like it's Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball made headlines this week in two not so good ways. Citing issues at the bargaining table, the league asked players union if they could move to an independent arbitrator, which got voted down by Tony Clark in the players union. Secondly, Major League Baseball had to hold their steroid testing for players during the lockout since the agreement expired. Really, guys? Really? This is way too much of a controversial issue, especially with Bonds and Clemens recently not getting into the hall, most likely due to PED use. So I ask you, which is a bigger problem for baseball? Not being able to move to an independent arbitrator or not being able to test players during a lockout?
Well, they're both bad. But
bad. So bad.
Absolutely.
Way to go, Rob Manfred. Who wasn't keeping their eye on this contract expiring, or this thing we agreed on, the steroid thing that we all agreed on? Who wasn't keeping an eye on this?
Now, we have been wasting the past 15 years of our lives because we have been holding these players, right? Your Sosa's and your Palmeros and your A-Rods, you're holding them down because they're cheating the game. And now all of a sudden, we're just going to suspend that and just kind of do whatever, get as big as a house. Who gives a shit, you know? We're just trying to get asses back in the seats. And all this is doing is rendering the past 15 years moot. And that is frustrating as somebody who wants to believe in the integrity of baseball and who wants the game to return to its former glory. I feel like I've been cheated by Major League Baseball. And I'm not going anywhere, but there are lots of people who feel like me who may not agree, who may say, I've had enough. So I completely understand that. As far as the independent arbitration, they can't agree what color the sky is. So it needs to be done. There needs to be somebody out there that will sit in a room with these guys and, you know what, get a divorce lawyer. Just get a free... At this point, it feels like that. It feels like irreconcilable differences. And at this point, we're going to just start going through each of the line items. And then, you want this? You want this? You want this? You want this? You got to get in a room with somebody who's more of an adult than you are and hash this thing out. Because I want fucking baseball. That, fans, you want baseball. We all want baseball. The fans of the game realize that this sport will not survive another 1994. But there is one good thing. We got to start warming our arms up because scabs are coming down the pipe. That's the next move. And if we can get in on a team, we can say we were Major League Baseball players. I'm just
saying.
I'm just saying.
Listen, I think the worst thing that happened to Major League Baseball this week, honestly, is them deciding not to go with an arbitrator, the players' union walking on that suggestion. That just means you're not willing to work with the management. That just means that you want it to be your way. You're not interested in both sides getting a fair deal. You want it your way. And honestly, it's just, I know a lot of people have said that they've seen this coming. Like 2 and 3 years ago, they said, you know, this is they're going to have a strike. This isn't going to work out. But guys, let's look at this a little bit differently. Things have really changed the last 3 years. We went through a pandemic. I know these owners are billionaires, but they weren't seeing the same money, the same return on their investment as they did in years before. And I'm not trying to be on the owner's side. I'm not trying to give them a break. I'm not trying to give them a pass. However, what I am saying is there's no reason why you can't bring in a person to be fair, to be neutral, to be down the line. Because if you can't have it fair and neutral and down the line, then what are we doing? And the other part is I think the players are really taking for granted fans this time around. I don't know how you are going to get fans back in the seats, because there's going to be a disinterest because of everything that's happened the last few years. And especially for small market teams that had to trade away all their talent because they couldn't afford to pay them. So I think the players are biting themselves here. I don't see this moving in the right direction. And as far as the steroids are concerned, I agree with you. This is a huge problem. You're opening yourself up to Pandora's box, because let's say when we do start the season and we do get on a testing regimen, you're gonna have guys failing. And then the product's tainted. And let's not forget that people bet on sports now, man. So what are we gonna do? Where's the neutral ground? Where's the balance here? And I don't think anybody has thought these things out.
Most likely not. They don't care at the end of the day. They don't care about you. They don't care about me.
Don't care about fans, but no. You gotta care about the product, man.
Clearly they don't. They don't care about the product because they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. And it's galling to me. For me, it's the hypocrisy of it. That all of a sudden, now we're just going to kind of let this fall by the wayside. Just after the Hall of Fame induction, where you had Poppy go in, even though, you know, he was on the Mitchell Report, but that wasn't reported, and it's like, you know, it's kind of under the table, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we know what's going on. And then you see like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, like, oh, what the fuck? I'm sorry? Now you're not testing? Okay.
Right.
Palmeiro's in hiding. Rafael Palmeiro's in fucking hiding. Come on. This is absolutely horrible. I mean, we knew that they were going to get in eventually. They were going to get in on one of those ballots, but it's just going to speed that up for sure. And Major League Baseball made another headline, you know, this week. It's not been good, man. It has not been good. They released their top 25 baseball players of all time, right? And, I mean, there were a few at the top that we kind of figured were going to be there, but Mike Trout listed at 15. Yogi Berra was listed at 38. Randy Johnson was 24. Sandy Koufax was 32 or 33. I know there seems to be a struggle since, you know, all we want to talk about is, you know, Super Bowl, and we're going to talk about Brooklyn Nets in a little bit. We're going to talk about the NBA trade deadline. The Olympics are going on, but, you know, what do you think of this list?
Where
did they get wrong? Yeah.
It's trash. Let me explain something to you.
Talk.
Joe DiMaggio behind Mike Trout is a joke. DiMaggio at 16, he's one of the best players ever. They wrote songs about this man. Not to mention, he went to fight in World War II for like 4 years, came back and still made the All-Star team. 56-game hit streak, 13 seasons, 13 All-Star appearances, 3 MVPs, 9 championships. I'm sorry, what has Mike Trout done besides be hurt the last 2 seasons, really? I think we really need to see... You know what? To be honest with you, this year, I think, is a very pivotal year for Mike Trout. You know, last season, he only played 36 games, and he needs to accomplish more at this point in his career. And, you know, to go over the list more, I mean, come on, Sandy Koufax. Listen, I love Randy Johnson, but he ain't Sandy Koufax.
No, sir.
He's not. I love Greg Maddux. He's not Bob Gibson, right? Nope. So, now Pedro's filthy. Pedro's nasty. And Roger Clemens' performance-enhancing drugs or not was all-powerful. But Nolan Ryan? Where's Nolan Ryan?
Nolan Ryan is in the 40s.
Come on, man. Dude was pitched into his 40s.
Tony Gwynn is 44. But Ted Williams is 5. I would argue that they're 1 and 2 in terms of best pure hitters of all time.
Yeah,
Mariano Rivera is 31 on this list. Mariano Rivera, you know, the greatest closer. I mean, closer is a new role, but he's the 31st greatest of all time.
Unanimous MVP.
Yeah,
unanimous Hall of Fame selection.
Yeah. Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth's number 1, which, okay, we got that right. Ted, I believe Willie Mays was 2, Hank Aaron 3, right?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, so that's okay. I think, Ty Cobb, I think, was 4.
Cobb is 4, Ted Williams is 5.
All right, it's okay. But
then you have
Mickey
Gary.
Mickey Mantle's 7, right?
Yep.
Something. Yeah. See, Pedro's got to be top 10. His record will never be broken. It's never going to be. He went and fought in a war. He came back and still made the All-Star team and won a championship.
Absolutely, because then you're looking at Mickey Mantle 7, Barry Bonds 8. Say what you will about him.
Walter Johnson, one, right?
Yeah, Walter Johnson and Stan Musial.
I mean, you know what? You know what surprised me on that list? Mike Schmidt. I didn't realize how good Mike Schmidt was. Mike Schmidt was the man. Holy shit, he was good. Look at those numbers he put up.
Now Mike Schmidt is an under... The problem with Mike Schmidt is that he played in Philly.
Well, he is Mr. Philly. He is best player all time in Philly folklore.
Yeah.
But dude, I think he hit over 400 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. 3,000 hits, the whole thing.
He's a monster.
And
he's not ahead of Trout. He's not, right? He's not ahead of Trout.
Nope. No, he is not. But I would argue that Ken Griffey Jr. is too low on this list. Like, he's 13, maybe you bump him up. Like, I would say Barry Bonds is not in my personal top 10 just because of what he did.
Imagine if Griffey did it, man, that would be great.
Oh, forget it. But I would personally swap Griffey and Bonds just for the simple fact that there was no sweeter swing than Ken Griffey Jr. And, you know, he was the face of a generation. Barry Bonds is the face of a generation for the wrong reason.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's terrible. But, you know, I get this is clickbait, and I get that Major League Baseball wants to have something
They want us to talk about it. We're talking about it. That's what it was all about. It was all about, hey man, this Super Bowl doesn't have a lot to talk about. Let's get a list out there that people can ramble about and argue about and talk about. It's hard to compare eras, but I mean, the thing about baseball is the numbers don't lie. I mean, the numbers don't lie. Joe DiMaggio played on some of the best teams ever constructed. Yogi Berra has 10 rings, man.
Mm-hmm.
And wait. So Yogi Berra has like 10 rings. He was on some of the best teams of all time, and I'm pretty sure he was the MVP on some of those teams.
3 times. He was a 3-time MVP.
3 times! You're the MVP of a stacked team? Holy shit. But no, Mike Trout better than you. because right. of all he's done for the game of baseball.
Yogi Berra, totally. Yogi Berra is the 39th best player of all time, according to this list. Now,
and I'm not saying Mike Trout's a bad player. He's arguably probably one of the best players playing right now when he plays. But to say he's an all time great top 20 when he's got at least what he's got to play at least 10 more years, mm-hmm. I don't see it, man.
I will give them credit for this list, though, for this simple reason. They did include Negro League players. So you have Josh Gibson on this list. You have Satchel Paige on this list. It is a comprehensive list. So you do have a who's who of guys. That being said, like some of the people ahead of the Josh Gibsons and the Satchel Paiges are definitely questionable, to say the least. And for me... I mean, Pete Rose is only 34. He's your all-time hit king. I get the whole gambling, betting on baseball thing, but he's only 30. I don't know. No, that doesn't work for me. That just doesn't work for me.
I don't know. No.
Nolan Ryan, no. All-time strikeouts. George Brett, Tony Gwynn, two guys that almost hit 400. Wade Boggs is 45th. Really, guys? Ahead of Bob Feller? I mean, I get the era comparison. One was a pitcher and one was a third baseman, but I don't know. I don't see Wade Boggs as the 45th greatest baseball player of all time. I just don't see it. If you've ever listened to a podcast and thought to yourself, hey, I can do this, then do I have the tools for you? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. No specialty training, no specialty programs needed. Anchor will then distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. How cool is that? It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Go to anchor.fm and get started today. That's anchor.fm. What are you waiting for? Download the app.
No. But, speaking of all-time greats... We thought the Nets had some all-time greats on their team. They can't seem to get them on the court. And not having everybody on the court and not having everyone play together has led to 9 straight losses in a row. KD's out. Kyrie's only playing road games. And James Harden seems disinterested. What do the Nets need to do to get on track?
Blow it up. Blow it up. You enabled Kyrie Irving. You're enabling James Harden. Ultimately, you're going to trade James Harden because he's not coming back. He's not coming back. Plain and simple. He chased an easy ring, or what he thought was an easy ring, and it blew up in his face. Kevin Durant, it blew up in his face. Kyrie Irving, it blew up in his face. You put a neophyte coach out there, and this team has been nothing but a disappointment. Now, they score. They do score. But at the end of the day, they're not doing enough. It's the James Harden show, and James Harden doesn't particularly want to be there anymore. Which is totally soft. I'm sorry. Like, you want to be a superstar. You want to be the man.
You want to be the war machine.
Exactly. You want to be the dog. You want to be the lead dog. This isn't lead dog behavior, man. Pouting until you get traded is not lead dog behavior. And Kevin Durant can tell you all about that because he's already done that.
Yeah, but what I will say, to defend James Harden, Because you got to go in that locker room and look around and be like, yo, Kyrie's playing road games, man. Mm-hmm. I didn't sign up for this. Kevin Durant's hurt. Like, I didn't sign up for this. And he was offered an extension over the summer, and he didn't take it. So it's like, dude, I'm telling you that I'm not coming back. Trade me now to Philly, wherever. I'm not coming back. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's pretty much said that stuff. And I think what Durant is saying behind the scenes is like, listen, I'm coming back after the All-Star break. Eventually, they're going to loosen up these restrictions. Kyrie's going to be able to play. All three of us will play together, and we'll win a championship. I got to believe that that's what Durant's saying behind enemy lines.
More than likely, he's trying to be the voice of reason. But even when Kyrie Irving comes back full-time, what's this going to be? Like, I can't say with any degree of certainty that this is going to be any better. They should have kept Dinwiddie. Yeah, they should have kept the nucleus of that team, the Caris LeVerts, the Jared Allens. They were better with these quote unquote role players than they are the superstars.
Yeah, but let's not forget that Durant and Kyrie almost, I know I sound like a Met fan when I say this, but they almost beat the Bucks. Just the two of them. You know, Kyrie got hurt, and then Kevin Durant was a three-pointer away from, you know, at least knocking them off. So I give pause when you say that it won't be better. The only thing I will say is Kyrie's playing the road games. They're still losing the road games, you know? Mm-hmm. But listen, let's say you're Kevin Durant. Sean Marks calls you, says, Kevin, we got to make a move. I got to either move Kyrie or James. Who do you want me to move?
Kyrie, you move him to the Lakers, you bring me Westbrook.
Wow.
Westbrook will actually be there. He will be there. He may not be better, but he'll be there. I can rely on him.
You think Kevin Durant wants to play with Russell Westbrook again?
Give me the Brooklyn Thunder. Give me the Brooklyn Thunder.
No, I don't think so, man. I don't think so at all. I don't think he wants to play with him. I think if Sean Marks was to go to Kevin Durant, he would say, trade James, just don't trade him to Philly. I think that's what he would say to him.
Well, the problem is that it's Philly or bust, and you're going to get Ben Simmons back. How you feel about that? How would you feel about that if you're Kevin Durant?
If you're Kevin Durant, I don't think you care, because what I think you think to yourself is, listen, we almost beat the Bucks, just me and Kyrie. Ben Simmons could play defense and grab rebounds, something we don't do. So that's the way I think he looks at it. But he doesn't want James to go to Philly, because then he's going to have to go through James for all of his time in Brooklyn. And I don't think he wants to have to deal with James and Embiid. I don't think he cares, but I don't think he wants to deal with it. How about you could move James to Portland and get Dame Lillard, or get I mean, I know Dame Lillard's hurt, but You can get that over there. You can't send him to Houston. You might be able to send him to Miami, maybe get a Kyle Lowry, but teams in the East are going to be reluctant, you know, to try to do business. You'd be reluctant to do business with teams in the East.
I don't know if Miami wants to break that up right now. I think he would send him to the West.
Miami's good, but I think Miami also turns around to themselves and says, we can't beat the Bucks. Can we beat the Bucks? I don't think we can. I don't know if they can.
Yeah, but I also don't know if James Harden goes into the Miami locker room and makes it better. Because now you have James Harden and Jimmy Butler.
No, he doesn't. No, you're right. But, yeah. I mean, Philly's going to be pushing for this trade. But I can't imagine it works, because if you're Brooklyn, you don't want to have to deal with that. They're not only are they in the same conference, I think they're in the same division. Like, you're going to play them a lot. And unless you're banking on Embiid getting hurt or James leaving, not signing an extension, or James not being as good as he was last year, that's the only way you do that. Otherwise, I don't advise it. Is your hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646-221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728. But, you know, we have the trade deadline approaching tomorrow. The contending Cavs already made their moves. They added Caris LeVert, which I think is amazing.
That's a game changer.
You had the Pacers selling, but I think both teams made out pretty good with the Sacramento Kings. They made out pretty good in that deal. But what other teams need to make a move before the NBA trade deadline tomorrow?
I mean, you're looking at the Caris LeVert trade, which is huge. Domantas Sabonis went to the Kings. Tyrese Halliburton went back the other way. So you got guys moving. CJ McCollum went to the Pelicans. Like, you have some pretty good.
I didn't get that one.
I don't understand it either. But they flipped Satoransky as part of another trade that brought them Joe Ingles. So Joe Ingles, he got moved from Utah. He's now in Portland, and he's going to rehab in Rose City. So you got me on that one. It's probably just to create some cap room. But, I mean, we already mentioned who needs to make a move. Like, Brooklyn needs to make a move. Like, the Lakers need to make a move. If they are serious about doing anything this year, the Lakers need to do something. And if that means, you know, I don't even know. I can't – the realistically – who are you moving on that team? It's pretty much Westbrook. I mean, you're not moving Davis. You're certainly not moving LeBron James. You're not. Nobody wants the rest of the guys that are on that bench. So, I mean, Westbrook's not great, but he'll at least get you some value. Julius Randle's probably going to get moved from the Knicks. You're probably going to see Boston probably make a move or two. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if there was some kind of under-the-radar blockbuster, you know? Like, we saw Sacramento break up their team. You know, everybody's like, you know, oh, Buddy Hield and Halliburton. And you know, they have their usual, we're 2 years away from being 2 years away mentality. And then they blew it up. Now, would you have somebody like, I don't know, like, you know, Would you consider, like, Karl Anthony Towns? Would Karl Anthony Towns end up finally get moved? He requested a trade in the beginning of the season before it started. You know, Minnesota is Minnesota, as usual. Like, do they finally, like, pull the trigger? And does a team like, I don't know, the Celtics? Somebody else? Do you finally, like, make a move for that and try and take it to the next level? Because you're kind of nowhere.
Yeah, I don't see the Lakers being able to remove Westbrook. The weirdest thing about it is their best trade asset right now is LeBron, and I don't know what his thoughts are, because when you talk to him, they were talking to him after they played the Bucks and they got beat. And he's just like, we're just not on their level. If you're not on their level, then you're not going to be able to compete for a championship. So what are we doing here? So, like, to me, it makes sense to trade LeBron if he's open to it. You're not going to win. You're not going to win this year. You're not going to win next year. I know they cleared cap space, though. I think they cleared, like, $31 million in cap space. I don't know what they're trying to sign next year. But if the one thing I'd like to see is I think the Celtics should blow up their team. They're not winning.
No.
So why don't you go and you trade Jaylen Brown to the Blazers for Dame Lillard, or you trade Jaylen Brown to the Timberwolves for Karl Anthony Towns, and then move Marcus Smart to the Heat, the Lakers, or try to get some draft picks. Keep Tatum, build around Tatum, but I mean, I would even be open to moving him because he's good, and he has the potential to be better, but for some reason, it just seems like he's peaked right now, and I don't know what's going to get him over the top. I always said that out of all the players I've seen come in the league, he, to me, had the ability to become like a Kobe Bryant. Like, if he put in the work, the effort, he's got the body type, and he's got the shot, and he's super athletic, but it's just not coming together, and I don't... Like, their team was the best it could ever be, like, 3 years ago, I think, and it got to the conference championship. But they're nowhere near getting back to there again. Not as long as Joel Embiid is healthy and on the Sixers.
No, definitely not. And the problem with the Celtics is that the whole was never greater than the sum of its parts. You know? They just never gelled the way you had hoped that they would gel. And then, they would probably be wise to kind of break it up, shake it up a little bit, but I just don't know if they're going to be amenable to that because of the potential that they see in the combination of, you know, of what they have of Brown and Tatum. I don't know if they, you know, because Stevens kicked upstairs, you know, he's enamored with these guys, and I really don't know what's going on, but you know, who's to say that the Wizards don't really make a move for somebody too? Because they're on the outside looking in, but they're only 24 and 29. They lost Bradley Beal for the season. Maybe you go and maybe you bring in a scorer to kind of, you know, bolster this team and make a run. Because if you look at it, as of right now, the teams in the playoff tournament, you're looking at the Celtics, the Nets, the Hornets, and the Hawks. I'm close with those teams. Like, I'm not that far away from the Hornets. I'm not that far away from the Hawks. The Celtics, they'll probably come back to me. So, I don't know. There's still a shot. It's an outside chance, but there's still a chance there. And, like, honestly, even the Knicks, but the Knicks have way too many problems right now, and it really, like, they can stand to move Kemba Walker if they could find anybody who would take him. You know, Kemba Walker would be a nice subtraction off of this team. And honestly, Evan Fournier, I don't understand why they brought him in to begin with. I watched him with the Celtics last year. I watched him and Kemba with the Celtics. And if I'm Leon Rose and if I'm Tom Thibodeau, what was, like, yes, what made me think, yes, get me those guys? I just don't see it. I honestly just don't see it. Looking to break into broadcast media, web development, social media marketing, or filmmaking? Then CSB is the program for you. From day one, you'll be trained hands-on by industry pros like friend of the show Rob Adams, whose goal is to get you trained and get you working in months, not years. CSB offers 8 and 16-week programs in small class sizes designed to give you the personalized attention you need. If you can make it in person, there are 5 East Coast locations. If you can't, they offer virtual classes too. How great is that? And once you graduate, you become part of the alumni network that gets you to the front of the line. Trust me, I'm an alum myself. Go to gocsb.com today, request more info, set up a studio tour, and who knows, you may very well be on your way to a career in broadcast media. That's gocsb.com, and tell them Z sent you. gocsb.com. Bullshit or no shit, we're going to debate this week's most controversial sports topics right now. All right, boys and girls, you know how it is. We got a statement. And if we agree with it, it's no shit. If we disagree with it, it is bullshit. Bullshit or no shit, number one. Jabari Smith is the best basketball player in the country and will be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft this year.
I'm going to say no shit. I mean, I know he's a freshman, but he's averaging 15.6 points per game. He shoots 40% from three. He reminds me a lot of Kevin Durant, and I like him better than Chet Holmgren.
I'm going to go bullshit on this. Just, you know, playing devil's advocate, there's always a chance that somebody else could bubble up. He's averaging 15, almost 16 points a game, 7 rebounds for Auburn. He's doing a yeoman's work. It's a representative job, but like, you know, you got, like you said, you mentioned Holmgren. There may be a European player. You have, you know, I think you have a bunch of different, like, this. It feels like a weak year, personally. Like, trying to follow college basketball, I'm just not in it. And, yeah, I don't know. I really think that you would be fine to choose him, but this feels like a wide-open year to me. Bullshit or no shit, number two. The New York Rangers will stay hot and recapture first place in the Metro Division.
Man, I'm going no shit on this. They got some tough games coming out. You know, the gate against the Caps, the Penguins, and the Bruins. But Gerard Gallant has the Rangers playing some old school hockey, and it is definitely paying off. So I'm going no shit.
I so desperately want to say no shit as a fan, but I'm going to have to go bullshit on this. As much as I want to believe it, everything has been breaking well. So you expect that there's going to be some level of adversity, and that's going to kind of keep them where they are. Chris Kreider is equatorially hot. He leads the NHL in goals. Can I expect that production from him when they get back next week from the break? I can't expect that, because I haven't seen it until this year. Chris Kreider finally figured out that he's big. He's always been the big guy with speed, but now he's finally the guy who's parking his ass in front of the net. He's finally realized that the way for him to be successful is to be Adam Graves. And that's great. Can Panarin step up? Can Zibanejad step up? Adam Fox needs to come back. Goaltending needs to stay healthy. Will these young players continue to play at that level? Are the Rangers going to fortify with a Jacob Chychrun or a JT Miller? If they can do these things, then they can make that run. But if they're not willing to trade from their strong minor league system, I don't necessarily know if they're going to take the ascent to the next level. I would love to be wrong. I want to be wrong. But I think that they're going to just kind of lay in the weeds and stay where they are. Granted, it is only 1 point difference between them and Carolina, but also, you got to see who's behind you. Pittsburgh is like right there, and you never count out the Pittsburgh Penguins. I've learned the hard way. Never count out the Pittsburgh Penguins, especially with that rat weasel Crosby. We love you, Sid. Bullshit or no shit, number three, Cooper Kupp will be the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I'm going no shit on this one. I mean, we talked about our dark horses earlier in the show, but if we're talking about favorites, he's my favorite. I mean, nobody has stopped him up to this point. I won't be able to pull up the numbers, but I predicted the Rams will win, and if they win, it's going to be because Cooper Kupp, and he takes home.
In the three playoff games, like, Arizona shut him down. Ooh, shut him down for 61 yards and a touchdown. That's Cooper Kupp being shut down. Against Tampa Bay, 183 and a touchdown. Jeez. And we've already talked about the Antoine Winfield play. We've already talked about it to death. I'm not going to talk about it. And then against San Francisco, 11 for 142 and two touchdowns.
Jeez.
So,
jeez.
That being said,
which way you lead it?
I'm going bullshit. I'm going bullshit.
Oh,
I think someone's
going to figure it out finally.
Well, somebody's either going to figure it out or somebody else is going to have a more dynamic game. And if the Bengals win, like I think they're going to win, the MVP is not going to come from a losing team. So, you know, it could be Mixon. They're going to trip over themselves. Like I said, they're going to trip it over themselves to give it to a quarterback. Jamar Chase, if he balls out, he could definitely have it. And then, you know, there's always the opportunity for them to give it to the random defensive player. Like that one year, what was his name? Malcolm Smith, I think. He's a Super
Bowl. Von Miller won. A couple guys in defense.
But Malcolm Smith is a Super Bowl MVP. You know, Desmond Howard was a Super Bowl MVP. So it's within the realm of possibility that the dark horse actually wins. But I think that, you know, I'm sticking with my pick. And if I stick with my pick.
Malcolm Smith, you referring to Malcolm Butler?
No, I think there's a Malcolm Smith.
Oh, from the Seahawks,
yes,
right?
The first one, yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that was just like, okay. And it's such an arbitrary pick. But, you know, and if I'm going to stick with my pick, I'm going to be consistent with that. If the Bengals win, Cooper Kupp's not going to win. Sorry, Coop.
Can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award. All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. We put up the poll. You vote in the poll. And then we tell you who won. It is that simple. Go to the Twitter poll at FadeRouteDNZ after the show. And we will tell you who the winner is. Do you know who won last week, D?
Gee, you know what? I don't know.
It was the NFL. The NFL was the alleged superstar of the week. Who were your nominees for this week, D?
All right, so first I have up for alleged superstar of the week, the Brooklyn Nets. You were down 26-2 last night in the first quarter against the Boston Celtics. The Celtics did not have Bird, McHale, or Parrish, but had no problem drumming you in the first quarter. Patty Mills plus minus was minus 47. Minus 47. Look it up. I'm not lying. That's the real stat. How awful do you have to be minus 47? Blake Griffin had 6 points and 3 rebounds in 16 minutes. Dude. What kind of offense are you running? Are you running something from NBA 2K? Brooklyn Nets, you guys are my alleged superstars of the week. Number two, the Auburn basketball team. Good Lord, after we praised you. Last week we praised you for being one of the best teams in the country. Congrats on first time being number one team in the country. You go out last night, you dance on the Arkansas Razorback logo before the game, then you lose to them in overtime. Come on, man. Leave the dancing on the logo to T.O. and the Oakland Raiders. You're a bunch of college kids. Try making the league first. Just play the game, man. Auburn basketball, you're my alleged superstar of the week. And last, and certainly least, Brad Marchand. What is wrong with you? Penguins goalie Tristan Jarry was trying to give a puck to a fan, and Marchand slapped the puck out of his hand. Then Jarry froze the puck. Marchand punched him in the helmet and then hit him in the head with a stick. Jarry was tight-lipped after the game, saying it was part of the game. I think actions were very poor and lacked sportsmanship. For a guy like Marchand, who's a champion and has been in the league for 13 years, dude, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What say you, Z?
Well, Brad Marchand is a serial offender, so it doesn't surprise me that Brad Marchand has done something
licking
stupid.
People and biting people, so now he's on to hitting people in the face. Jeez.
This is his game. His game. He's Tom Wilson without the vitriol that Tom Wilson has. Like, for whatever reason, Brad Marchand does not engender the same level of hatred that Tom Wilson engenders. But, you know, maybe it's because Brad Marchand has won multiple cups. But I don't know. I can't stand either one of them. For me, I'm going to start with Nate Hobbs.
Who?
Nate Hobbs of the Las Vegas Raiders for being arrested again for speeding in Southern Nevada after doing 110 in a 65-mile-an-hour zone. This is after he got arrested for DUI earlier this year, January 4th. He's begging the cop not to arrest him. But dude, you can't be going 110 in a 65. You just can't do it, especially after you already got popped. You, Nate Hobbs, are my alleged superstar of the week. Major League Baseball, they're back for wasting 15 years of our lives with a PED outrage only to drop testing and open Pandora's box for Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, and every single steroid cheat under the sun. Either it matters or it doesn't, and if it doesn't, why have we been wasting our breath? Major League Baseball, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Joe Judge, for running back to New England after not being able to hack it as a head coach in New York. Lick those wounds, Joe, and maybe you'll be able to renege on your next head coaching gig just like another former New England coach we know. Joe Judge, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, James Harden, for being so soft that now the easy ring you wanted ain't happening in Brooklyn. So you're trying to angle your way out of town to Philly. If you think New York was tough, you ain't seen nothing yet, man. James Harden, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to vote. The nominees have been cast, and for our nominees, a little something for you. Not that. Not what I wanted. That's not it. There it is. Just do better, boys. Just do better. Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade store with DNZ.com today for all your Fade Route merch needs. I'm talking tank tops, t-shirts, sweatshirts, like yoga pants? We got those too. Like some cool accessories? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have so much more planned for you, but check out what we have today at the Fade store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade store with DNZ.com. Order up. All right. It's time for us to order up.
Order up, order up.
But before we order up this week, we have a little special announcement from our boys at the Sweet Life Brownie Company. Chef Tommy D and the crew have a special Valentine's Day box that they're putting out, and you can save some money on it too. Go to sweetlifebrownieco.com, type in DNZ, that's the letter D, the letter N, the letter Z, 22 in the offer box, and you can get 5% off your Valentine's Day brownies. Get some sweet treats for your sweetheart from the Sweet Life Brownie Company. This week, we are ordering up the top five NFL coaching hires of this offseason. From 5 to 1, who you got, D?
All right, I'm going to start off with the Houston Texans hiring Lovie Smith. I think he's the right guy for the job. He got to a Super Bowl in Chicago with Rex Grossman as his quarterback. I mean, come on, you could take on the Texans. At number 4, I've got the Denver Broncos with Nathaniel Hackett. His father was a terrible coach, but he's all right. He could soar to the top if he's actually able to lure Aaron Rodgers. They took the good parts of the Green Bay coaching staff. I air quote good parts. And if they don't get Aaron Rodgers, it could be a disaster. But he should be able to do well with the Denver Broncos. At number 3, I've got the Jacksonville Jaguars and Doug Peterson. I think he learned from his mistake last year in Philly, 2 years ago in Philly. He comes from the Andy Reid coaching tree. He's won a Super Bowl. It's a solid hire. He was able to win with Foles. He was able to win with Wentz. I think he can get the best out of Trevor Lawrence. At number 2, surprisingly to you, I have the Miami Dolphins with Mike
Wow.
Yeah, he seems to be a bit of a space cadet, but players and coaches have been coming at to bat for him, saying he knows his stuff. People think he's a great run game coordinator. If he can get Miami's run game on track and Tua and Waddle continue their success, Miami will be very formidable next year. And number 1, you probably disagree with this, but I think it's great. It's Josh McDaniels to the Vegas Raiders. Whether he's coaching Derek Carr or Russ Wilson next year, I think that he's going to do well. Another guy who will learn from his errors of his previous head coaching experience, and I think he's just what the Raiders need. What do you got?
Well, I don't hate the McDaniels hire. I definitely don't hate it. It's a good list. You put together a very compelling list. For me, I have Josh McDaniels at number 5. Just because he wasn't inspiring when he was the coach of the Broncos. Yes, he won with Tim Tebow, but then he got drubbed by the Patriots the next week, and then he was promptly discarded, we'll say, the year after. Then the Indianapolis Colt thing still sticks with me. Like, you can't do that. You can't put together a staff and then be like, I'm just kidding.
Psych.
Nope. Bill, help me. Help me. So he's got talent. Hopefully he's matured. The situation is a good one. I still think Bisaccia should have gotten that job, but, you know, McDaniels will be fine. Number 4, I'm looking at Nathaniel Hackett of the Broncos. He definitely has a good offensive mind. The cupboard is not totally bare. They just need to figure out their quarterback situation. And if he can get Aaron Rodgers, like you said, that's a pretty good get. Number 3, this is a toss-up for me. I'm going to go with Lovie Smith just because of his playoff credentials. I think that he's going to bring, you know, as the head guy now. Last year, he was just the associate head coach and defensive coordinator. He's definitely going to bring that gravitas. He's going to bring that mental toughness. He's going to bring what he had with the Bears, and he's going to make this Houston Texans team better. And if he has Deshaun Watson, he's already going to be better than last year. So if they keep Deshaun Watson, they're actually going to be in a much better position. Number two, Doug Peterson. We've seen what he can do with a quarterback that, like Carson Wentz, a mediocre quarterback that he had playing like an MVP. Can he take Trevor Lawrence and unfuck him up and put something in there that is representative? It remains to be seen because Shad Khan doesn't have the best track record. And he seems more married to Trent Baalke than anything else. So we're going to see what happens here, but he's got the Super Bowl. He's got the pedigree. Doug Peterson is definitely on the list. And number one for me is Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen of the New Orleans Saints. He is going to keep the continuity there. And all they need is a quarterback. The defense plays. They have Alvin Kamara, but who knows for how long after he got arrested. We didn't even mention that. The arrest for the assault. My God. And then he still got to play in the Pro Bowl. So that's a bad job by the LVPD. But, Mike Thomas is still there. We'll see if he actually plays. If they can get a quarterback, maybe Russ. Who knows? But I like them keeping the continuity. And Dennis Allen's a good coach. Like, they're consistently high in defensive rankings. And, he didn't do poorly when he was with the Raiders.
He was 8-28, man. Seriously? They're definitely keeping the continuity in New Orleans by hiring this guy.
Yeah, well, they're keeping the continuity, but he wasn't. If you look at the talent level, of the Raiders at the time, they weren't there. It wasn't there. Only later did they actually get him talent. So I like what Dennis Allen brings to the table, and I think it is going to be better with him than somebody else.
This has been the Fade Route with D&Z. Thanks for tuning in tonight. You can catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on the Anchor, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, stay faded, everyone.
We'll talk to you next week. If you want to get on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up at Fade Route Podcast on IG. FadeRouteMail@gmail.com or slide in our DMs at Twitter at FadeRouteDNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it. We want to hear from you. Get at us, in crowd.